Public corruption is a top priority for the FBI. Agents look for everything from local motor vehicle officials fudging things for a case of whiskey to federal officials who might be on the take. That includes keeping resources on the southern border, watching Border Patrol agents. Joseph Campbell is Assistant Director for the Criminal Division at the FBI. He explains how public corruption cases get generated.
We have specific organized strategies for intelligence collection relative to any of the threats that the FBI targets, and that includes public corruption. And so we have sources of information that can come from the public. They can come from other agencies. They can come from sources that we have which are documented, which are working in regard to these particular areas. It can come from information that we see out in the media. It can come from current cases that we're currently working on. We can generate more intelligence there as well. So the information about public corruption threats really comes to us from a variety of sources, and then we have specific guidelines that determine whether predication exists then to open a case and for us to dedicate resources then to target whatever that particular threat is.
And as a matter of, I guess, operational standard, when it is not at the federal level, but I think recently there was a look at Fairfax County, I believe it was, there was some activity there.
Yes.
That then goes to that local field office for that zone?
That's right. Generally, our field offices are where our investigations are located. That's where we have investigators, intelligence analysts, and other investigative support personnel who then are the ones who move out on identifying and working against these threats. And then what we do from headquarters is provide them with whatever support they need in regard to those investigations.
Okay, so with respect to tips, how do they come in? Do people phone them in? How do they get
Sure.
to the attention of people that can do something about them?
Right. So we can get tips from the public online. We get people calling into field offices or some call the 1-800-CALL-FBI number to provide us with information. We have people walk into field offices. And as I said, sometimes they'll contact other agencies, other federal agencies, other state and local agencies who we have constant contact with. We also have 15 border corruption task forces that are focused specifically on public corruption along the border, and those various agencies who are a part of that task force also generate information that we work together in regard to that type of public corruption.
Okay, let's focus in on that border mm-hmm. area, and historically, what forms have corruption there generally taken?
Right. So it can be a variety, but a lot of what we focus on has to do with federal officials who are working along the border in various capacities, whether that be in security, whether it be regarding traffic going to and from the two countries, et cetera. And it comes down to them essentially using their official positions for personal gain. And so they may be involved in some kind of illegal activity where they're accepting bribes or gifts or other favors in order to perhaps look the other way or somehow facilitate something or someone crossing the border without scrutiny or who otherwise should not be crossing the border.
And so it must require some sensitivity and some involvement of the higher-ups in the agency that you're looking at, in this case Customs and Border Protection.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know how high it goes so that you don't tip off people that are actually involved?
Right. Well, that's where the criticality of these border corruption task forces come into play. Those are staffed with, obviously, us, the FBI, Internal Affairs from CBP, the Office of the Inspector General with DHS, Department of Homeland Security, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Office of Professional Responsibility, otherwise known as ICE-OPR, the Transportation Security Administration. DEA does some work with us, and then our state and local partners. And so when we receive information about potential corrupt acts being committed by these officials down there, then the task force can take that information, run it through their databases, run it through source information, other avenues of intelligence, and then conduct investigative activity that can do exactly what you're talking about as far as what is the scope of that illegal activity, who all could be involved in it, how high might it go in regard to whatever particular government component it's involved in. Does it include corrupt officials maybe on the southern side of the border, that type of thing.
We're speaking with Joseph Campbell. He is the Assistant Director for the Criminal Investigative Division at the FBI. What have the trends been in recent years with so much increased activity at the border?
Sure. Well, I can't say that we've seen it whether increasing or decreasing, but I can tell you that it is consistent activity. We're not lacking for work in that regard, and we receive frequently information about suspicious activities that are occurring. And when we vet that information, sometimes it turns out that it is not something illegal that is occurring, but it's good that we've at least vetted that out or flushed that out. And of course, as I mentioned, in many cases, we may be opening an investigation with our task forces in regard to that type of activity.
I guess there's probably a range of seriousness from ranging from just, say, shakedown of you know, poor people or small guys trying to go back and forth across the border to something that could involve really the big drug lords and people working for them.
Right, exactly. It does run the gamut with just sort of minor type of criminal activities, personal gain, that type of thing, all the way to cartel activity and so forth. But another area that we're concerned with is the potential for a national security threat. If you have individuals working on the border, whether on the U.S. side or south of the border, who are allowing containers, cargo, et cetera, to pass through without the proper scrutiny and vetting. In many cases, those individuals, maybe they assume that it's illegal contraband or drugs or money, what have you, but in many cases, they don't really know what is crossing, and so we don't know whether it could be individuals that could present a national security threat, various types of materials, maybe weapons of mass destruction material, what have you. And so really there's that threat as well that we're very concerned about, even the potential for supporting espionage activity and so forth. So it's really something to take very seriously, and that's why we really need the public's help in regard to providing us potential suspicious information that we can look into.
And what kind of resources does the FBI have there? Is there a permanent office on the Mexican border somewhere, and how
yes.
many people?
Right, exactly. That's a very good question. Well, as I mentioned, we have the 15 border corruption task forces that are spread throughout the southwest border area, but we also have 8 FBI field offices along the border. And so whatever investigative activity comes out of the information we receive, whether it be a terrorism case, a corruption case, some kind of a drug or cartel case, gang case, then we can put whatever resources we need to against those threats. And let me just also make the point that it's really a task force effort. So no matter what type of criminal activity we're investigating, we're going to have other partner agencies, federal, state, and local, working with us against those threats. And many of the federal agencies, of course, have field offices along the border. And, of course, we have our state and local and tribal partners as well.
And how about watching the watchers? Are people rotated in and out regularly so that you make sure the FBI people stay clean?
Right, exactly. Well, we have our own internal processes, like any federal agency, any federal law enforcement agency, in regard to how we vet our personnel and be sure that they're safe and that, you know, that they're doing the things that they should. So that's an important note for the public to understand, that we do have internal controls and internal processes for that as well.
And what about physical danger? Do the agents on these task forces ever, because the Border Patrol agents certainly have their share of physical danger from, you know, the migrants and so on. What
yes.
about the task force members?
Absolutely. It's the same for them. And they certainly do have to have self-awareness of their own security for their families as well. I mean, it can be dangerous business working along there. And that's why we need to work together on developing, collecting, sharing intelligence in case threats do come up against personnel working against the border threats that are created down there. And it does happen, and in some cases, those are matters that have to be investigated and appropriate action taken.